Well, last week we learnt about Joseph and his first Christmas experience. We also made some practical applications for our own lives. We were challenged by Joseph's faith and trust in God in spite of the circumstances that faced him. And today we will learn about Mary and her first Christmas. They were equal challenges for Mary in her situation, but they were different, and the applications for us this week will be different too. So last week it was about Joseph interacting with the text about his first Christmas, and today we're interacting with Mary and her first Christmas. There are four things in the two passages that I read that I'd like to draw to your attention, and these are first Mary and the angel, this encounter that Mary had with the angel, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Then Mary's confirmation of God's miracle, the confirmation of this wonderful experience with the angel, and that's in the same chapter, verses 39 to 45. And then we have Mary's joy in verses 46 to 55, and then finally Mary's challenge in chapter 2 of Luke, verses 25 to 35. But before we get into the scriptures, we need a little bit of a background on this person called Mary. Who is this Mary in the Bible that's so important within the Christmas story? We're told that Mary, first of all, was a relative of Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist and married to Zechariah, the high priest. Now this means that her background was with a priestly family, and this explains why Mary knew so much about the Old Testament scriptures. Now, normally, women were not taught the Old Testament scriptures at that time, but Mary had this wonderful, great opportunity of being taught the scriptures right from an early age. She was immersed in the scriptures. It was part of her life and part of her upbringing. Well, Mary was a young girl when she was engaged to Joseph to be married. Nobody knows exactly how old she was, but it's estimated that she was about 16 years old, no older than 16 anyway, when she got engaged, and about 17 years old when she gave birth to Jesus. So in our 21st century, it would seem like a young teenager, really. We do know, the Bible tells us, that she was a virgin and that she knew about sexual intercourse as the way of having a child. She wasn't completely green about the whole situation. We know that she lived in Nazareth, which was in the Galilee region of Israel. Many of you have been there. Now, at this stage in the Bible, that's all we really know about this Mary. Later on, we find out other things. So, first of all, I want you to focus on verses 26 to 38 of Luke chapter 1. And there are a number of facts that we can draw out from the passage about Mary's encounter with the angel. First of all, Mary was especially chosen by God for the task of giving birth to God's Son. This was just not a random happening. God especially chose Mary for this particular situation. The New King James Bible that I read to you tells us that Mary was highly favored and blessed by God. The creator of this world singled out this little teenager to deliver his son into the world at Christmas. Mary was probably chosen because of her priestly background and of her knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. That's probably why she was chosen. But nevertheless, God chose this young girl. She was highly favored. Secondly, Mary was fearful. She was only a teenager. It was natural that Mary had a fear when she encountered the angel. She would have known about angels, and this would have been her first real encounter with a messenger from heaven. And a couple of weeks ago, we learned all about angels. So probably Mary knew about them but had never encountered an angel. And all we're told about this angel is that he was male. And all of the angels actually who appeared in the Bible were male too. Thirdly, Mary was told about the purpose of the angel's visit. The angel quite clearly told Mary that she would conceive in her womb and have a son. However, the angel told her that she must call her son by the name Jesus, Yeshua, Savior. Then the angel went on to describe something about the future of this child. Mary was told several things about this child. The angel said, this child is going to be great. This child is going to be called the Son of the Highest, and that he would be the King of the Jews and an ancestor of King David. Amazing prophecy, but it fits in line with the family line. The child would reign over the house of Jacob forever. There would be no end to the reign of this child. And finally, the angel said that the child's kingdom would be eternal. Christmas Eve, we're talking about eternity. Eternity is something that we don't often consider, that eternity goes on forever. So the kingdom of this child would never stop. It would be an eternal kingdom. Now, this was a very big announcement for Mary to try and understand, only 16 years old. Naturally, Mary asked, how is this all going to happen? Because she knew that she was a virgin, and she hadn't had sex with a man. Of course, last week we discovered that Joseph had to believe that too, but he didn't really know that. He had to have faith. But Mary knew that she hadn't had sex with a man. Naturally, Mary asked, how is this all going to happen? She knew she was a virgin. Then the angel replied that God's Holy Spirit was going to do all of the work. She had to do absolutely nothing but just trust God to do this wonderful work. The angel gave the assurance to Mary by telling her that her relative Elizabeth, who was quite old and barren, had conceived 6 months previously. So if you want to know about miracles, I'm going to tell you about Elizabeth, your relative, because a miracle's already happened with her. So if you want to believe in miracles, go and see Elizabeth, because she's already conceived. She was barren and she's an old lady. And then the angel's final words were, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Isn't that a wonderful thing? With God, nothing will be impossible. Mary's final words to the angel declared that she was happy to be God's servant and believed in what the angel said. Amazing, this young teenage girl. Okay, I've been studying the scriptures all my life, and now I've met an angel. And the angel's told me this, and the angel's told me that if I want to confirm this, I can just go and see Elizabeth, because a miracle's already happened. And then she believed what the angel had said. And the angel then departed and left. His job was done. He returned to heaven to get his next assignment. End of story, Mary and the angel. Well, what about a little application before we move on? It'll come out strongly later in verses 46 to 55. But Mary was a student of God's word. And I'm sure this was one of the reasons that God chose her to be the mother of Jesus, God's own son. Now, there's a challenge here that if we can hope to be servants of God, then we need to know God's word. Not just the small bit at the beginning, at the end, the New Testament, but we need to know the whole Bible. This is God's revelation. All scripture is God-breathed. And it's profitable to us. However, it's not just the knowledge of God's word that is important. We can be the greatest theologian, the greatest academic. We can have degrees from the best university in the world, and we can know everything. But knowledge by itself is not enough. It is also a holy life that is obedient to God's word. There must be a surrender to God's work, so God's word, so that the Holy Spirit can do a work in our lives. Unless God's Holy Spirit is doing a work in our lives, there'll be no change in our character and in the holiness that God desires. They used to say, if you only concentrate on God's word, okay, if you only concentrate on God's word, you dry up, just like a bone dries. If you only concentrate on the Holy Spirit, then you blow up like a balloon. We're still kind of following the Holy Spirit, wanting all the miracles, all the kind of dynamics. But if you have a balance between studying the Word of God and obeying the Holy Spirit, then you grow up. Okay? The Word and the Spirit together, and you grow up. The Word only, you dry up. The Holy Spirit only, you blow up, and eventually you burst, and then you're no good to anyone. Well, Mary knew God's Word, but now she had to obey the Holy Spirit through the angel, and then she would grow up and know and love Jesus for who he is. How about us? Are we drying up, blowing up, or growing up? Now, over the last 5 years as pastor of Ozark International Church, I've been very encouraged by the many believers who have grown up and matured in their faith. Now, this has come about by a knowledge of God's Word and an obedience to God's Holy Spirit in their lives, both together. May God continue to do a work in all of our lives. Challenge: if you haven't matured or grown up as a Christian the last 5 years, don't give up. What you need to do is to surrender your life to Jesus, serve him, focusing upon his word, obeying the Holy Spirit in your life, and then you will grow up in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This year I asked Keiko Nakai if she would give her testimony, and maybe we'll hear how she has grown up in the last 5 years and how God has thrust her forward to start something in her life. So do come along. Last year we asked Masao to give a testimony. This year, Keiko Nakai. And I know that we're going to be encouraged at what God is doing in Keiko's life and ministry. And do come along and hear that testimony. So that's the first thing, Mary and the angel. The second is Mary's confirmation of her miracle, 39-45. Mary then went to visit her relative Elizabeth. She'd had the angel experience, this big supernatural thing. She had believed it, but I expect she went to check out what the angel told her about this amazing miracle of Elizabeth having a child in her old age. We're told as soon as Mary arrived at the home of Elizabeth that the baby in her womb leapt and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, Elizabeth had the witness of the Holy Spirit that Mary was going to have a very special baby. And after Mary shared the privilege of being the mother of Jesus, Elizabeth told her about her own baby, okay, 6 months old now, leaping for joy at her arrival. That was John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. The words of Elizabeth to Mary are very apt for all of us. She said, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now, I'm sure that Mary, being a young girl of 16 years old, would have received great assurance and confirmation from Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a much older lady, the wife of a priest. What better confirmation could she have than to have confirmation from such a godly woman? Although Mary probably didn't realize it at the time, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, was leaping in the womb of Elizabeth because Jesus had arrived in the womb of Mary. John the Baptist the person chosen by God to prepare the heart of the people prior to the beginning of the ministry of Jesus on this earth. So there they were. Jesus starting off in the womb of Mary, and John the Baptist leaping for joy. Wonderful, isn't it? God had it all planned out. Well, when we, just coming to a little bit of application before we move on, when we take a step of faith to obey God's word, especially if it's a big issue in our lives, we usually get confirmation in our circumstances. Something happens to confirm, yes, we're going in the right direction. This is the thing that we've got to do. Now, God knows that we're often weak in our faith, and we can often get discouraged. We live in a broken world where lots of things happen. Now, it's not in the translation, and I apologize to Hisako at the back, but I was trying to think of a story in my life where I took a step of faith and got confirmation before I kind of went further down the line. And it happened a long time ago. It was 26 years ago now. And I was living in Scotland, in Edinburgh at the time. I just returned from being a missionary in Japan. I had very little money. I had no job. I was doing preaching in various churches around Edinburgh once a week, living by faith. I had a very small car. It was like a mini, really. It was called a Metro, just another company, but very small car. And I had four children, and we used to squeeze all our children into the back seat of the car when we went out. We didn't go out very often, but when we did, we put all our kids in the back of the car. We were supposed to have seat belts in those days. But anyway, and what I needed was a bigger car. I needed a seven-seater van. But in England at the time, they were very expensive, even second-hand, if you could get one. Very popular. And in fact, if you want to buy one, they were just taihen takai, very expensive. Okay? So I started to pray for a car that was suitable for our family. But I had no money, but I thought I had some faith, so it wasn't very strong. And I felt that God was challenging me to trust Him to buy a car that was suitable for our family. And in fact, I thought perhaps I had to buy a new car, which was completely impossible. So I left it in prayer. And then a few weeks later, I was asked to deliver a car to a small garage near Edinburgh by a missionary. It needed some work for its shack end. In the UK, it's called the Ministry of Transport, MOT. So I took this car to this garage, and then they were going to give me a lift home. So I dropped the car off at this small garage, not very big, just a one small family. And the lady said to me at the garage, what sort of car have you got? What do you need? I said, well, I've got a very small car. I've got four children, and I really need a seven-seater car. I said, because we push all our children in the back. She seemed quite surprised. And I remember at the time saying to her, well, I do need a seven-seater car, but I don't really have the faith to pray for a new car, because that's not what Christians do, is it? But to me, I'd always stood on the promise that God would provide what we needed, not what we wanted. So I just needed an old second-hand seven-seater. So I was praying for that. And anyway, she took me home and everything, and she gave me this envelope. Now, what you've got to think about is that Scotland is different from England. They have different money. Now, in England, we do not have a £100 note. That's about Ichi Man Go Sen In note, okay? So when I opened the envelope, it had £100 Bank of Scotland as a gift. And at that time, I thought, wow, it was a lot of money. This lady has given me a gift. She said, that will increase your faith to buy your seven-seater. I thought, well, I can't buy a seven-seater car with £100, 15,000 yen, but maybe if I borrowed the money, it would be the first payment. Anyway, 2 months later, I had a phone call from the missionary. Oh, could you possibly come to a funeral with me? Remember that lady who gave you the gift? She died. So I went to the funeral, and they gave a tribute to her, And they said this lady had a ministry of giving. She could have been a very rich lady, but she had this small garage. She lived very frugally, and she just gave money away to missionaries, organizations to take the gospel around the world. And I cried, because I realized that this lady had given sacrificially to increase my faith that it might confirm that I'll get this car. Well, several months later, I went to be a pastor of a church in London with very little salary. And anyway, to cut a long story short, Nissan Finance lent me the money to buy a new Nissan car. And over 4 years, we paid them back the loan. And the first payment was this lady and her £100. So God confirmed to me that this was the way to go. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And the amazing thing, after 10 years, and the children grew up, we then sold the car to a pastor. And we said to the pastor, you can have it very cheaply, because it was God's gift to us. He said, no. He looked up the value, and he gave us the value, and we bought a smaller car. So we have a wonderful God that can do the impossible. But if we're going in the right direction, he will bring confirmation in our lives that we are following in the way that he wants us to go, just in the way that Mary had confirmation too. Thirdly, we have Mary's joy, verses 46 to 55. In verses 46 to 55, we have a song of joy that's compiled by Mary. And many people have used that. It's called the Magnificat, and they've used it and put it to music, and people have sung it all over the world for thousands of years. And Mary was so full of praise to God for her situation that she opened her mouth and out came Scripture, out came the Old Testament. And in her song of joy, Mary declared many of the attributes of God. She knew God from the Scriptures, she knew God from here, but then suddenly she knew God from here. She knew God from her heart. You may know about the God of the Bible from here, but do you know about the God of the Bible from here? Is your heart ticking with Jesus today? Because Mary declared in her song, God is mighty. She knew about the power of God. She quoted Psalm 71, verses 19. Then she said, God is holy, in many quotes. She knew about the holiness of God. Then in verse 50, God is merciful to those who fear him. Repentance first, then God will forgive you. You see, God is merciful to those who fear him. Mary quotes here from the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, Psalm 103. Exodus 20 says, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Psalm 103, 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, who on those who fear him. It's not just blank mercy. It's just not blank forgiveness. And his righteousness to children's children goes on. So God is faithful to his covenant promise. Verses 54 to 55. Mary here was referring here to God's original covenant with Abraham and his seed forever. So Mary was aware that the covenant that God made to Abraham was an everlasting covenant. I'll be teaching on this in January and February. The purposes of Israel, the land and the people. God has made an everlasting covenant with his people, his chosen people, the Jewish nation. And when I teach my series on God's purposes for Israel, the people and the land will go into this everlasting covenant more deeply. You see, Mary was well taught. In her priestly family and community. She learned about God and his attributes and about his promises. And now she had God's son in her womb. There are more attributes of God in her song. We don't have time to expound them now. Perhaps you can find some. Go through this song and find more things about God, because the doctrine of God is very important and it needs our personal study. Fourthly, and finally, we have Mary's challenge, Luke chapter 2, 25 to 35. When Mary took the baby Jesus to be dedicated in the temple, she met a man called Simeon. Now, he was told by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. God made a promise, and he kept it. When God makes a promise to you, he will keep it too. Simeon took Jesus into his arms and thanked God for allowing him to see Jesus. Simeon's prayer and conversation to Mary and Joseph is recorded in verses 29 to 35. Let me read it to you. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. A light for the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, there are at least three things of interest in this passage. Simeon said that Jesus was going to be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. That's us, most of us, if we're not Jewish. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that Jesus was going to shine his light into the hearts of Gentiles. Gentiles could be then grafted in into the Jewish covenant promise. Now, this was an amazing revelation. For ever since God chose Abraham and made all the promises to him and his descendants, the Jewish nation were the only focus of the scriptures. Thank God he allowed the Gentiles to benefit from the Jewish new covenant. The next thing we notice in verse 34, and here it's pointed out that Jesus will be a blessing to Israel, but also an offense to Israel. Two things going on here. In other words, some people would receive him and be blessed, and other people will be offended because of him. Now, thanks be to God, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 to 16, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Well, I'd like to tell you that 2,000 years later, nothing has changed. People continue to react in the same way. Some of the time, we are an offense. Others, we are afraid of. The question I need to ask you today is, how are you going to react to the message about Jesus? Will it be like a fragrance that attracts you to find out more about eternal life? Or will it be the aroma of death that only gives you hope for this life? Which way are you going to go? Today you can talk to someone and pray with somebody if you feel that something or somebody is speaking to your heart about death and eternal consequences. Because we're here to help, not to judge, because Jesus is the only judge of our lives. Finally, it is the words in brackets in my Bible in verse 35, it may not even be in your Bible, that were a real challenge to Mary. These are the words. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul. This is Mary being prophesied that there was going to come a day when it will seem as if someone's put a sword into her soul. Some deep wound, some horrible experience that Mary would go through. Now, most Bible scholars believe that this is the prophecy about the death of Mary's son, Jesus Christ. Although Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit of God planting a seed in Mary's womb, nevertheless, Jesus grew up like any normal child. Therefore, Mary would have had the same feelings for her child like any other woman. No difference. To watch your child grow up and to be crucified on a cross would not have been a good experience for Mary. And at the time when Jesus died on the cross, we're not sure how much Mary understood about the purposes of his death in God's eternal plan, but we know that she took the pain of what she went through. However, what is important is what we understand about the eternal consequences of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, in human form, or God in human form, to be 100% accurate. May God's Holy Spirit give you understanding today about Jesus, concerning your own salvation, concerning your future, because it says in the Bible, for there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and that is the man, Christ Jesus, because he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. And this is the message that God gave to the world at just the right time. And this is the message of Christmas. The God of the Bible became a man to rescue us from the punishment of our sin. Do you want to be rescued today? Well, you have an opportunity, because tomorrow may never come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the story about Mary, but we realize there's a story about us to come. As I said, you are Mina, Kamino Sabatinoza, Nitatsu Ni, Nero Nordes. For we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Father, we pray that our sin will be judged here on this earth by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that somehow, Lord, when we come to that place of repentance and faith in you, we will know your blessing. But it doesn't end there. We have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to follow you step by step, faithfully in our lives and wholeheartedly as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.